How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Podcast. I am Carson Cunningham, joining you on a late Sunday whirlwind day. Anything happened this weekend? I think they traded for Carmelo Anthony, which just rocked the NBA universe, Twitterverse, everywhere in between. Oklahoma City is just lit, as the kids say these days, as far as Carmelo coming to Oklahoma City. We'll talk about the trade. Thunder, obviously, they had to give up a really good player in Enes Kanter, and we'll talk about the trade and much more, and just my thoughts on that and moving forward with some lineups and such. But I return to you on the airwaves from the Oklahoma City airport. I was able to go out there today working for KOCO-TV here in Oklahoma City and kind of see Carmelo, a touchdown in Oklahoma City, which is surreal. I'll talk about that and much more. But first, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, shoot me an email, carsonlockedon@gmail.com. We're still looking for some sponsors for the show. And what a show it's going to be this year, right? With Carmelo Anthony joining an already star-studded lineup with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. So without further ado, let's hop into the show. So again, I made my way to the Oklahoma City airport, which is just a surreal thing that fans show up at the airport in droves to see, you know, the team. Usually when they arrive from like playoff road trips, people will greet them during the playoffs, big events like that. But it's kind of become a tradition now for new players. You know, I was at the Paul George welcome party a month ago or 2 months ago, whatever it's been now, or back in July. And that was the hottest day of the year. It was 103 degrees. People stood out there for 3 hours to see, you know, 30 seconds of Paul George getting off the plane, and it made a big impression on him. And so you knew the fans would roll out for this one. And you got to give a tip of the cap to Devin Newsom. He works for the Thunder in some capacity, I think, but he's kind of the guy that organizes all the airport meetings, says where to meet, what time, all of that. Big shout out to him. And it was weird. I'm getting out of my car, getting all my TV gear, and a guy just walks up and hands me a hoodie with no sleeves, the sleeves cut off. And I kind of like was like, is this for me? What is going on here? And it took me like 3 seconds to realize, oh, and I turn around, there's a whole truckload of hoodies that they're passing out with the sleeves cut off for Hoodie Mello, you know, the meme that's made the rounds this summer with Carmelo working out in a hood, and it's kind of turned into a life of its own. So that was an amazing touch by, I think it was Devin Newsom actually handing them out. And so fans were wearing these hoodies with the sleeves cut off in 90-degree heat. That's kind of the Carmelo mania that was happening at the airport. And so everyone kind of waited around. They never quite land when they say. I think they like to build a big crowd out there at the airport. So it took a while, but Carmelo eventually showed up, said hi to the fans, and people just were going insane. You know, I saw a Syracuse Mello jersey, even a Knicks jersey out there. It was pretty surreal to see Carmelo Anthony landing in Oklahoma City. And, you know, it's funny. He goes from Broadway in New York to Broadway Extension, which is a highway that runs from Edmond, suburb of Oklahoma City, to Oklahoma City. So it's still surreal. I mean, I thought it was surreal having Paul George on the roster with Russell Westbrook, and now you have Carmelo Anthony. But it is stunning to me. Almost everyone I talked to today in Oklahoma City, the reaction generally was, yeah, but Carmelo, he's a ball hog, he's a ball, yeah, just, I don't know. Like, that reaction to me is just shocking. Like, look, I know, you know, people have reservations about him being selfish, and, you know, some of those reservations are warranted. He never took less money for the Knicks, just was content to make as much money as possible regardless of winning, and appeared on the surface to be kind of a selfish player and really, you know, financially as well, not sacrificing some to help his team win. So while those reservations are warranted, it's Carmelo Anthony. He's made 10 All-Star games. He's going to be the third best player on the Thunder. Like, he's your third best player. And I think all those reservations, for me at least, kind of go away when he agrees to come to Oklahoma City. He's agreeing to come to a small market, one of the smallest, from New York City. He's willing to join someone else's team in Russell Westbrook and even Paul George, who's also a current All-Star. And I think that move alone shows he's willing to change his ways as far as basketball's concerned and maybe mentality-wise. Look, it appears to me the guy wants to win. And I tweeted this before he came to Oklahoma City this week. I said, look, I don't know if Carmelo's going to Oklahoma City, but if he wants to win, that's where he'll go. Because Russell Westbrook and Paul George are ready to go to war. And that's what Sam Presti's doing here. He is giving Russell the help that he so desperately needed. It was almost embarrassing watching Russell leave the floor in the playoffs last year and just watching leads evaporate. I mean, the starters for the Thunder outplayed the Rockets. They outscored them. But they had no depth, no help coming off the bench, and you saw what happened. But I think Carmelo now can kind of unlock so many lineups playing power forward. They want to go smaller. That's something Sam Presti talked a lot about at the end of the season last year. Was he really harped on how much they went small in the Rockets series, which I think was by design from the Rockets. They were having to match up with them. But you can tell him and Billy Donovan are on the same page as far as they want to go smaller. And now Carmelo at the four, that any good? With, you know, Russell and Paul George, it's an unbelievable trade for what they gave up. I mean, I love Enes Kanter. I've been probably Enes Kanter's biggest defender, at least in Oklahoma City. I think the guy's an amazing basketball player. For me, he's the best offensive rebounder in the league. The one, you know, he never got enough minutes to put up. His per 30 minutes were always insane. He was so productive on the offensive end in limited time. Now, obviously, he gave it back up on the defensive end, and that's why he didn't play a lot, especially in the playoffs. But the one time he got to play 30 minutes, he put up a 30 and 20. Like, the one time he played, like, a starter's level minutes, he put up a line that a Thunder center had never done in franchise history. So he's a very viable player. And I think the perception of him would have been much different had the Thunder played the Spurs instead of the Rockets. They literally couldn't play him against the Rockets. Remember the can't play Kanter? They caught Billy Donovan kind of saying that on the bench. Well, it was true. They literally couldn't play him. But had they played the Spurs, who play big with Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge, he would have been a very viable player and probably put up, you know, 20 points and 10 rebounds, close to it, depending on his minutes. So it stinks to see Enes go, though, because he's become such a local hero. He's one of the few guys that will come out and just rip Kevin Durant, which will always play well in Oklahoma City and as far as Thunder fans go. But more than anything, I feel for Enes because his career really got off to a rocky start in Utah. You know, he's a lottery pick, didn't get along over there, and ripped Utah as a city and franchise and got rightfully booed for saying all the things he said about them when he went back. And he really found a home in Oklahoma City. He really grew to love it, and it's unfortunate to see him go. But you just look at the trade. They get Carmelo Anthony for Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott and a second-round pick. I mean, you do that trade 100 out of 100 times if you're Sam Presti. Just an immense haul for, you know, obviously, Carmelo's not in his prime. It's not the Carmelo of old, but he's still a very viable basketball player. And going back to the perception that some fans here have of him being selfish and I don't know how he's going to fit in, I think all you have to do is go look at Olympic Melo. And we talked about Hoodie Melo. Olympic Melo played with stars, and he found his role, and he played exceptionally well. I think him and Kobe Bryant, to me, were probably the two most impressive players in the Olympics, going back even to 2008, you know, obviously 2016 as well. When he plays with talent, which is something we hadn't really seen other than the Olympics, other than maybe the year in Denver they made the Western Conference Finals. You go back to then, too. He's a different player when he's surrounded by talent, I feel like. And I think that's what the Thunder are banking on, and that's what, you know, Russell Westbrook and Paul George are banking on, too. I mean, Carmelo was playing with a D-League roster for most of his tenure in New York. Now, part of that's part of that's him to blame for not taking less, like I mentioned. But, you know, another part of that's, you know, you're not going to look as good playing with a bad team. I mean, just look at, you know, Kevin Durant was on an elite team in Oklahoma City. And just look how much easier life was for him joining a 73-win team. Just everything was easier, more open shots, more open looks, even more efficient than he already was. And that's what Carmelo's stepping into, a much more viable team, a team that can get him better looks and better shots and obviously more success. So I love the trade. For me, this puts them right there in the West behind the Warriors and right there with the Warriors too. And that's the other thing. Like, I know there's this tendency for people to say, oh, well, they're still not beating the Warriors. Well, nobody is if they stay healthy, we think, right? But I do go back to last year. I don't think anyone ever mentions that the Warriors were down by 30 points to the San Antonio Spurs until Kawhi Leonard got hurt. They were causing real problems for Golden State. Kevin Durant was not playing well. He was playing like, frankly, he did the year before in the playoffs, and he was starting to see the ghosts of playoffs pass with Kawhi Leonard just dominating. And, of course, Kawhi gets hurt, and then everything, boom, Kevin's wide open and just goes on a tear, and that series is over. So the point being, the Warriors are awesome, and they're probably going to win the title, but they're also not just indestructible and invincible. You can cause problems for them. You can give them a run for their money if you play well and do certain things. So, obviously, if the Warriors stay healthy, they're probably going to win the championship. But Steph Curry has injury history. Kevin Durant, we all know. I mean, this, you know, before the playoffs last year, there was thought Kevin Durant might be out for the year. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you're rooting for the Warriors to get hurt. I'm just saying that it's an 82-game season. You got to go through four playoff series. It's a long haul, and things happen, and you have to give yourself the best chance to win. And that's what Sam Presti's doing here. They've assembled a super team, which, you know, now you have to do. With the way the Warriors are built, you have to do this, and that's exactly what the Thunder did. So it's unbelievable, and I think they're going to make a real run at this thing, and who knows what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, now they're even talking about Dwayne Wade, which I'll talk about in a little while later, But overall, just an amazing trade by Sam Presti. Once again, just shocking everyone. I mean, the Paul George trade was shocking. This one's right up there, too. I mean, it's amazing. So the Thunder, to me, are locked and loaded, probably the second-best team in the West, if not the NBA. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, for sure. Now, it's costly. Thunder have a $27.8 million luxury tax that they're going to have to pay, which, I know some people are like, oh, man, that's a lot of money for luxury taxes. But the Thunder have been printing money since they came to Oklahoma City. I mean, imagine how much money they've made since buying the franchise. So it's time to win. And I think probably Sam and Russell have sat down and talked about, obviously, when he signed his first extension, was they probably sat down and Russ said, look, Sam, like, I trust you. I trust your ability to build a team. I want to win, and I know this first year Kevin has left us. We have nothing to sign. You know, this year's this year, but come next year, we need to reload. And I think that's the conversation they had. You know, Russell's almost 30. That's the conversation they had, and that's the conversation that Sam Presti delivered. I mean, did he deliver in spades? How about turning? He essentially turned. You know, if you can go all the way back to Serge Ibaka, but Serge Ibaka was traded for Domas Sabonis, Victor Oladipo, Ilyasova, and the rights to Domas Sabonis. And he traded Serge Ibaka on an expiring deal and got all that, and basically turned Oladipo, Ilyasova, and Sabonis into Paul George, and he turned Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a second-round pick into Carmelo Anthony. Job done. Unbelievable. And again, McDermott and Kanter, while good offensive players, I think Kanter's a great offensive player, Doug McDermott's a good shooter, they were unplayable against Houston because that's where the league has gone. They've gone small, and you cannot be that exposed on defense. So you turn two guys who were not playable in the Rocket series into Carmelo Anthony. So it's, again, just an amazing haul by Sam Presti. And again, if anyone doubts Sam Presti's ability as a general manager, I don't know what they're looking at. The guy doesn't pull off trades. He pulls off heists. Now, obviously, the Harden trade was probably a heist the other way in hindsight, but you got to remember, James Harden was coming off a horrendous performance in the finals, was not yet James Harden. He was still a very young player, but obviously that trade doesn't look as well in hindsight. But you're never going to bat 1,000, and I think Sam Presti has continued to make unbelievable trades. And I'm going to go down my top five. So I took some Twitter questions, which I'm going to answer here in a second. And I was asked to rank my top five Sam Presti trades, which I had to kind of go back in the memory bank. There's been so many just in the last year and a half or so. It's been hard to remember all of them, but that's something I'll do here in just a bit. But I did ask for some Twitter questions. But before I get to those, again, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, send me an email at carsonlockedon@gmail.com. So, without further ado, let's get to your Twitter questions. I did have a few here. This one's kind of funny. Kyle Tilly asks, can we get Nike to put a hood on Melo's jersey? I'm all for it. The hoodie Melo memes. I'm here for all of the hoodie Melo memes. The cutoff hoodie was a big hit out at the airport, and it's going to be funny the first practice session we see with the Thunder if Carmelo sticks to the hoodie or if he gets to Oklahoma City attire as well. But what's your favorite? This is from Taylor J. Says, what's your favorite death lineup? You know, the Warriors have their death lineup. I think I got to go with the starting lineup, which I think will be obviously Russell, Andre Robertson, Paul George, Carmelo, and Steven Adams. Now, I know Carmelo's been hesitant to play the four some, but I think moving to this Thunder team, I think he can tell what position Russell is, he can tell what position Paul George is, and he's probably willing to play a little four. So I would go with the starting lineup of Adams, Carmelo, Paul George, Andre Robertson, and Russell Westbrook. But I am intrigued at the idea of going super small with Patrick Patterson at the five. I think that's something they're going to toy with because they did trade their backup center in his Cantor. So it's Steven Adams really the only center on the roster other than Dakari Johnson. And I don't think Dakari Johnson's getting big minutes with the Thunder. But I would be interested to see Patrick Patterson at the five, go super small with him, or even maybe Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant has shown he can block some shots. He's super athletic. They toyed with that a little bit in the playoffs, playing him in a small lineup at the five. He's not a great defender by, just defensive prowess, defensive schemes, and just actual guarding people, but he is athletic around the rim and could protect the rim a little bit. And that's something we're going to have to see. That's the thing about the Carmelo trade, too, that I haven't mentioned, is how's it all fit? I don't know. That's something Billy Donovan's got to figure out, and I do think they will toy, and I do think they really want to play small, and that's the way the lineup's gone. And that's my death lineup, though, is still the starting lineup because Steven Adams is so athletic for a center. We saw back when they went to Golden State and played the Warriors, there were times Adams was switching on screens onto Steph Curry, and Curry hit a few threes over him, but for the most part, he did a good job. And that's a 7-footer. So I think you'd be overthinking it by going away from the starting lineup, but it would be fun to watch. And that is something also, too. Steven Adams, one of the best plays the Thunder run are a pick and roll with Steven Adams and Russell Westbrook, where Adams rolls to the bucket and just throws down the one-handed slams. Those weren't open last year because there was no floor spacing. There was no one else who could actually make a shot on the roster or on the floor, so everyone took that away from them. How open is that going to be with Carmelo Anthony and Paul George standing around? It's going to be wide open. I think Steven Adams will be unlocked a little bit on offense, more so than he was last year. More questions here. All right, I was asked to rate my top five Sam Presti trades. Let's just get to that right now. Again, I don't know how you rate these as far as importance or just heists. But again, number you want to go in reverse order? No, let's go in order here. My top trade. Actually, let's go in reverse. Mid podcast change up here. Let's go in reverse. My fifth Sam Presti trade that I like is actually a trade that didn't happen. Let's see if it. This is a deep dive in Thunder history. Let's go all the way back to 2009. The Thunder traded Joe Smith, Chris Wilcox, and the rights to something called Devon Harden, not related to James, spelled differently, H-A-R-D-I-N, for Tyson Chandler. That trade was made, and that trade was rescinded by the Thunder team doctor, Carlin Yates. I still see Carlin Yates at home games, and I'm always tempted, to say, hey, Carl, come here real quick. Come here. What about Tyson's foot? What really bothered you about that? That's an all-time Thunder what if, is it not? I mean, he was coming off an ankle injury before the All-Star break back in 2009. Tyson Chandler was. And Carlin Yates rescinded the trade, citing his foot, didn't think it would hold up, thought it would be a chronic issue, and he would not be able to have a viable NBA career moving forward. And Tyson Chandler was, like, really upset about it, like, just thought it was insane, didn't know where this was coming from. And Tyson Chandler went on to become, you know, an all-star level center and won a title with the Dallas Mavericks, playing center for them. He's still playing. Had a really good NBA career, and that's an all-time Thunder what if. Adding that to a young core around Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, that's my fifth favorite trade. It would probably be number one if it happened, but it didn't happen, alas, so it's only number five. But yeah, that's Thunder trivia right there. Tyson Chandler was almost on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And my fourth favorite trade in Sam Presti's Thunder tenure would be last year. The Thunder traded with the Chicago Bulls. They acquired Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott for Joffrey Laverne, Anthony Morrow, and Cameron Payne. Now, this was last year when Thunder were struggling a bit, didn't think they would have much to go with in the playoffs, and they acquired Taj Gibson, a really good NBA basketball player, and Doug McDermott, a young player they could potentially build around, for Joffrey Laverne, who barely played, Anthony Morrow, who was resigned to the bench, and Cameron Payne, who really had become a bust at that point. Couldn't play him. Samaj Christen was getting minutes over him. Samaj Christen, who was in the D League prior to that. Cameron Payne was not working out. He cashed his chips in on Cameron Payne and got Taj Gibson, who really helped them in the playoffs, helped the Thunder starters outscore the Rockets in the playoff series, and got Doug McDermott, who was a part of the Enes Kanter and Carmelo Anthony trade. I mean, that's just when I thought Sam couldn't heist teams anymore, this was an absolute heist. I don't know what the Bulls were thinking. The Bulls now have one of the worst rosters in the NBA. They must have saw something in Cameron Payne they liked. I did not. I liked Cameron Payne. He was a super nice guy. But it just was not working out. And he also had a broken foot coming into the year. And they still made the trade. And now Cameron Payne's foot, unfortunately, is broken again. He's having another surgery. So on the heist scale, this one's high. But it turns out it was just basically a one-year trade for Taj Gibson, and they knew that going forward. It's just more chips to play with in the playoffs and show Russell you're trying to win. So number four is the trade with the Bulls. Number three was really the first big trade the Thunder made. It was when they traded Jeff Green and Nenad Krstić for Kendrick Perkins and Nate Robinson. And it's, you know, Kendrick Perkins has his skills faded so fast that people kind of lose sight of how important this trade was. Going back then to when this trade was made, the Thunder were pretty soft. They'd gone up against the Lakers. Obviously, back then, Andrew Bynum and Pau Gasol were ruling the West, and you thought you had to get bigger, had to combat them. And so, obviously, that helped acquiring Kendrick Perkins. But more than anything, Perk changed the mentality of the Thunder. He toughened them up. He was the veteran voice in the locker room. He helped these guys grow up fast. And I think he played a big role in them getting to the NBA Finals really ahead of schedule because he kind of showed them what it took. You know, they respected him immediately because he'd won a championship in Boston. And, you know, Jeff Green was a really good player as a young player, but he played the same position as Kevin Durant. It wasn't a good mix. And he really underwhelmed for most of his tenure in Oklahoma City. And, you know, all you had to do was see the reaction out of Boston when they made this trade. It was not good for them. It was a bad trade for the Celtics, a really good trade for the Thunder, and really kind of changed the mentality of the entire organization. And Sam Presti always credits Kendrick Perkins for that. Perk always looked like he was kind of running with combat boots there towards the end of his year, but into his tenure with the Thunder, but he was a really good player when he first got there and really guarded big men very well his first few years and really was an important piece of the team and one of the best sound bites on the team. I still miss Perk to this day, but that was trade number three is the trade with the Celtics to get Kendrick Perkins. And trade number two happened on July 4th. I was at a 4th of July barbecue and the Thunder acquired Paul George. Completely out of left field. They traded Victor Oladipo and Domas Sabonis for Paul George. Again, acquired through the Serge Ibaka trade, and Paul George is on a one-year trial, essentially, and that's the one reservation you have is you traded two guys who were on long-term contracts. But you also got Paul George, and you're sending a message to Russell Westbrook that, hey, we're trying to maximize your prime. We're trying to give you everything we can. And the fact they got Paul George, even if it's just 1 year, for Domas Sabonis, who struggled as a rookie, and Victor Oladipo, who now you can look at it, doesn't have that great of a contract situation. Made less money, or he made more money than Paul George. That's crazy to get Paul George for that. And I think the Pacers kind of squandered their opportunity to trade Paul George. And obviously what they liked was Victor Oladipo on a signed, a long-term deal. Didn't hurt. He played at Indiana. And Domas Sabonis also signed to a long – they got two guys on long-term deals that they know will be around. I think that was the appeal for them. But this immediately put the Thunder back in the conversation in the Western Conference. Before that, just look at the roster when they ended the playoffs. They were kind of hopeless. They needed to make a big move, and I questioned Sam Presti's ability to make a big move. I just didn't think they had a lot of pieces on their roster that appealed to anybody to make a big move. But boy, was I wrong. Trade number two is Paul George, and I don't think you get Carmelo Anthony without having Paul George on the roster as well. So it's that was the first big domino. Now you have the second big domino with Carmelo Anthony. But that's not trade number one. Trade number one is the trade with Orlando when they traded Serge Ibaka to the Orlando Magic. Serge Ibaka was on an expiring contract. They knew that they probably weren't going to be able to re-sign him for the money that he wanted, for the money that he just signed in Toronto. And he turns Serge draft day into Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the rights to Domas Sabonis. Ilyasova was flipped for Jeremy Grant, who's super cheap and super athletic and fits today's NBA. This is a heist. Now, you could argue it might have been an inside job. Rob Hennigan was the GM for the Magic at the time, and he's a former Thunder guy, already now back working for the Thunder. So it might have been an inside job. It might have been some Godfather-esque maneuvering behind the scenes by Sam Presti, but nonetheless, just an incredible haul for a guy that, it's basically a one-year rental of Serge Ibaka is what it turned out to be for the Magic, in less than 1 year because they traded him last season. So again, just the trades that Sam Presti is able to pull off, if you're a rival GM, just don't answer the phone because you are going to lose. Daryl Morey would argue, yes, that there's always a little asterisk there with the James Harden trade. I can hear you yelling through your computer screen. I know. But every other GM, just hang up the phone because you're going to lose the trade deal, and those are my top five Sam Presti trades. So it's incredible what he's able to pull off. Let me find this one. Let's see here. Do you think they'll get Dwayne Wade? I don't think they're going to get Dwayne Wade. I know it's come out tonight on Twitter that Russell and Paul George are already courting him. I think he's going to Cleveland to team up with LeBron. I think there's more, really honestly now, with the roster the Thunder have built, I think there's more opportunity for Dwayne Wade to play. It's not like Dwayne Wade's not going to play at all. It's not what I'm saying, but, Kyrie's gone out of Cleveland. There's not the big three there right now. There's a big three in Oklahoma City. So maybe he would want to come play in Oklahoma City, but I think all signs point to Cleveland for Dwayne Wade. Who's going to be the backup center, Dakari or Tupat? I kind of touched on that earlier. I think it's going to be Pat Patterson or maybe Jeremy Grant, or I don't know. It's a fascinating question. It's one we'll have to see for sure. And final question here from Zach. With Russ just russing around and Paul fishing like crazy, what do you think Melo's go-to pastime in Oklahoma City is going to be? I don't know. What is Melo into? I mean, I know he lives in New York. I don't think he's going to find the nightlife the same. I think Melo's going to be into playing basketball because that's all that the Thunder do around here. Like, they're basketball junkies. They're always at the facility. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of who he buddies up with. Is it going to be Russell? Russell's kind of his own guy. He hangs out with his wife and now newborn son. Will he become a stash bro? Will he grow a beard like Steven's got? Will he team up with Ray Felton? Ray Felton's back from New York. The New York boys might hang out together. But that's going to be interesting to see. I don't know what Carmelo's going to do. I can give him some recommendations on places to go. But, yeah, I do wonder what Carmelo's reaction was when he flew in and saw just the terrain of Oklahoma. A little different than New York City, but he knew what he was getting into. He's played here plenty of times. And that, to sum things up, that's the crazy thing to me. When the Thunder first came here, there were so many times when Melo was on the Nuggets that he hit. Melo's probably hit the most big shots in Chesapeake Energy Arena, not named Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook. He hit so many big shots against the Thunder when he played for the Nuggets. And now he's a member of the Thunder. It's pretty crazy. And Paul George was quoted in the USA Today about how this team can win championships, plural. That's a good sign for him staying. But who knows who's staying after this year. All I know is this year, they're all in. They're going for a championship. They're going to give the Warriors all they want. They're going to war. Sam Presti's going to the mattresses. And it's a great time to be a Thunder fan, great time to do this Thunder Locked On podcast. I appreciate everybody listening. It's going to be a fun year. And Thunder Media Day begins in about 12 hours here in Oklahoma City. So I'm going to sign off for now. We'll do a wrap-up of Media Day on Locked On Podcast, Locked On Thunder. So, again, thanks for joining me. It's going to be a fun season. It's going to be hoodie season. And thank you for listening to the Locked On Thunder Podcast. Please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Audio Boom. We always love that. And, again, we'll chat tomorrow after Oklahoma City Thunder Media Day.